0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the dust starts to settle after a dramatic weekend, Ross Wilson's been linked with a move away from Rangers to Nottingham Forest. Stephen Naismith confirms Robert Snodgrass is on his way out of Hearts, and Hampden is named as part of a joint bid to host Euro 2028. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
What a weekend it was, Gordon. I know you said the dust is starting to settle, but I'm not going to allow that to happen. What a Saturday it was, you know, watching two good teams go at it. Obviously Celtic coming out on top. I've been listening to the show on Monday and Tuesday, so I've heard from a lot of the fans. I'm sure we'll hear from more today. And then we're looking forward to this weekend's game as well. Never quiet in Scottish football. Robbie Nielsen goes, and so does Robert Snodgrass.
Yeah, it's a fair point. When you two try and make it all about the previous weekend on a Wednesday night, I sometimes think it's a bit tenuous, Simon Donnelly, yeah. But certain weeks you almost get away with it.
Yeah, and as I say, there's plenty still to digest from the weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed it for obvious reasons. Am I allowed to give my son a shout out? His team won in Holland.
Oh, so you've had double success.
Wow. Yeah, the only Scottish team to Giffnock. They won in Holland at the weekend, 24 teams.
Fantastic.
Brought the trophy back. So it was a great weekend for the Donnelly household.
But you weren't over there because you were watching
my mother was
the other
there.
Game.
Can you believe my mother was there? She was there as the cheerleader. But yeah, I was at the other game.
Not like you to miss the holiday, Si.
01419511025. That is the number you need. If you're still just looking back purely on the 90 minutes from Saturday, don't let me stop you. But maybe with more of a forward look, what about that story that started to emerge late last night and certainly into today? Rangers fans, Nottingham Forest are said to be confident of a move for Ross Wilson. What do you make of that? Is that the right time? Is it best both parties go their separate ways? How would you reflect on his time in, I was going to say in charge, his time in position, if it is to be the beginning of the end? Let us know all your thoughts on that, please. 01419511025. And I suppose that's all linked, because in a game like Saturday, you're soul searching, you're talking about perceived gaps and the size of them and what happens next and which players stay and which players go and the build up to the semi-final. So it's all interlinked, I suppose, on 01419511025. And then you Hearts fans, every night this week it feels like there's been something else. We had Robbie Nielsen sacked, we had Stephen Naismith appointed, we had kind of a rumour stage last night about Robert Snodgrass, and now confirmed today that he is on his way out of Hearts. So what do you make of that? And to all of you, it's very rare we've got a topic that everybody can just get involved in. What do you make of Hampden being named as part of a joint bid to host Euro 2028? Pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. That is the number, the contact details you need to get in touch. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks as well, Marvin, because for many teams it's the business end of the season. Things are won and lost. Saturday probably ended the title race, but even at that, that then just brings a whole new set of intrigue in terms of what's the form like up to the semi-final, and particularly for Rangers, who's playing their way in or out of a future at the club.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, as you said, I think Saturday definitely ended the title race. You know, Celtic coming out on top, I think that means it's game over for Rangers, if it wasn't that beforehand. But like you said, now there's a massive pressure on the Rangers players and the manager to go into good form into that semi-final. And I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, they need a win as kind of make or break, which I totally disagree with. But knowing Michael Beale and him wanting to be a perfectionist, you know, he'll want improved performances leading into that, and like you said, he want to lift that Scottish Cup, won't he?
Still, Simon, like I say, a couple of days on, it still feels like there's the nitty gritty, there are the incidents and the talking points, but it feels like there's still an overwhelming sense that people are just praising the fixture and the spectacle that it was at the weekend.
Yeah, well, plenty to talk about in the game. The game kind of swung, 5 goals in the game. I think Rangers were better than the last time out against Celtic in the final, but I still think from watching the game they're more concerned about Celtic than going and trying to impose themselves. I think Celtic are comfortable in this fixture at the moment. I know it ran out of 3-2 in the end, but I just feel they do have that belief in themselves, and I think that comes with the success in this game. and I think they're still the stronger of the two.
Come on then, 01419511025. I did say there might still be people out there who just want to talk purely about that game, which is fine, but with more of a forward look on things, Rangers fans in particular, what did you make of that story that came out last night into this morning, that Ross Wilson could well be on his way to Nottingham Forest? Why not kick us off with some thoughts on that? In fact, Mark is a Rangers fan and he's through on that. What was your feeling, Mark, your gut reaction when you heard that news?
First of all, obviously coming from Giffnock, is it Simon? Is it Giffnock North, your boys' team?
No, just Giffnock Boys Club.
Very good, very good. Yeah. I'm surprised though that you stayed in Glasgow to watch Rangers.
anyway, missed the big game, Mark.
He's working, Mark.
That's what he says. Anyway, what are you thinking about this Ross Wilson stuff, Mark?
First of all, Ross Wilson in particular has been a disaster from the beginning when he came in till today, a disaster. The fans want him out, as you know, from the banners, from the protests, from the AGM. I can't comment on the Rangers board, their opinion of him. They've backed him. As a fan, he's got to go, and I want him out now. Obviously, Mr. Park's gone. We want Ross Wilson out. We obviously want Stuart Robertson out as well. Just the transfer dealings from the beginning of his time at Ibrox until today have been a disaster and have been a major reason. I want to focus on the bigger picture, though, as well. Bigger picture is that we, as much as Postecoglou's done a magnificent job, he's had four transfer windows to get his team the way he wants them. So I want Michael Beale to get the backing of the Rangers board. They need to give him money. Upwards of 10, 15 million is what he needs, plus any money that comes in for anyone. They must back him, because he's got the best record in 150 years of any Rangers or Celtic manager when they've started their job. Michael Beale's played 22 games. He's won 19 out of 22. He's lost two. He's drawn one. 22 games. No Rangers or Celtic manager, including Jock Stein, including the great Walter, has won out of 22 games, has won 19. So the fans all agree that the board have got to back him with money, or there's no point. Because Celtic have backed their manager, his signings have been spot on, and now look at them. So, there we go.
I'm going to trust your research, Mark. I ain't looking back 150 years of records, so I'll take you at face value on that one. Just update on the news, if you like, in case anyone's just joining us and thinking, what's this? There was a story last night, Ross Wilson could be closing in on an exit to Nottingham Forest. I think The Athletic reported at first that the Ibrox sporting director is their preferred candidate to replace Filippo Giraldi, whoever he may be. He was sacked by the City Ground side yesterday or today, I think. And again, suggestions already been made over appointing Wilson as his successor. I suppose, Marvin, this is modern football in 2023, where the comings and goings of a sporting director are interesting and they're important. You know, I've almost I had to check myself when I was reading the headlines as if it was like a piece of transfer news, you know, but it is important. You can hear what it means to Mark.
Yeah, I think it's important in this situation because, as Mark said, you know, the fans aren't really happy with Ross Wilson since he's been at the football club. So it's probably more a relief than, you know, thinking we're losing someone who's behind a lot of good transfers, you know. So I think Michael Beale will want to probably do his own work in terms of going out there and finding his own players and having his own list. So maybe he's happier working without a sporting director. Maybe this is always in the pipeline for Ross Wilson to leave the club, and it just so happens that the Nottingham Forest jobs came up at this moment in time. I'm not really sure what a sporting director does, if I'm honest. You know, if the manager's got the final say on players, I know it varies from club to club, but how important and, you know, are they?
Well, I was going to say, I think this is interesting because if Mark, like everybody else, me included, you included, when you assess Ross Wilson or anyone else in that role, how good or bad they are, you just talk about the signings.
Yeah.
But from my understanding of it, and it does differ, a sporting director is bigger than that. You're talking about overseeing sports science, you're overseeing the academy structure, you're overseeing various aspects of the football operation, which would include recruitment. So, and to be fair, I get that, because the rest is not measurable. Well, maybe in Rangers' case, some people would be annoyed at the sports science or the physios or the rehab or whatever because of the injuries. But you get what I mean. The recruitment is the easiest bit for a fan or a pundit to look at and judge. And on that, can you understand Mark's frustrations?
I can, I think, especially when you look across the city and you look at the signings that Celtic have made. I think that's what's made it all the worse, because, you know, Mark's looking and he's spoken about all the signings that have came in under Ange and how well they've hit the ground, and then you look at their own signings and it's been very, very hit and miss, to put it lightly. So I definitely understand the frustrations. And listen, as I said, you know, Michael Beale will have his own list now going into that football club. And I remember when Andrew went into Celtic, he said, these are the players I want, regardless of who was in charge of signing them.
I mean, when you look at the list, I can't elaborate on them all because there's so many. But there's clearly a wide range of success rate here. If you look at some of the signings, I think Calvin Bassey, obviously, is a bit of a moneymaker, and Jermaine Defoe did a good turn, and Leon Balogun, Kemar Roofsery's injury problems. But then you start looking at Bongani Zungu and Jack Simpson, Scott Wright, Nnamdi Offabor, and then maybe even James Sands, Ahmed Diallo, Aaron Ramsey, of course, Rabi Matondo, Ridvan Yilmaz, to bring you up to the most recent ones. So can you understand why Rangers fans would look at a story about Ross Wilson potentially leaving and sort of focus on the recruitment
better? Yeah, I think so, but I'm with Marv. I think it's on reflection of what's happening on the other side of the city as well in terms of recruitment, and they're getting it really right. I agree with Mark, you know, Michael Beale needs more time in transfer windows. He said one transfer window. It was the same with Van Bronckhorst when he first came in. Ange's what, 4 transfer windows down now? So
that's what's unforgiving about it though, isn't it, when you've got the comparison in this city, because he is. But Celtic's team under Ange Postecoglou was in pretty good nick after 2 transfer windows.
They were. And
one even.
And what he brought in on the January one that year with O'Reilly, Hatate, Maeda really kicked Celtic forward, you know, to go and win that title. So he has been prolific in the transfer windows, and I think that goes with everything, you know, across. If Rangers are sitting at the top of the table just now, it's maybe not as much a story. So I can understand the frustration, but again, I think it hasn't been helped by how successful
that's Glasgow, isn't it? Yeah. And in fact, the Telegraph reporting tonight that Nottingham Forest have agreed terms with Rangers to appoint Ross Wilson. So it certainly looks like that's heading in one direction, one direction only. Mark, is it when I rhyme off some of those names, and I'm sure you'll have others, is that the bit that you think doesn't reflect well on Ross Wilson's time?
The reality is Ross Wilson's job was to continue the rebuild once Steven Gerrard won 55, and Ross Wilson never signed Calvin Bassey, so he doesn't get credit for that either.
What do you mean by that? I think it was under his sporting directorship, was it not?
As far as I'm aware, the deal was already agreed with Leicester for $300,000 from the previous Mark Allen.
Okay. So
as far as I'm concerned, Ross Wilson signings have been a shambles from top to bottom. There's a couple of players that have been okay. Cholak's been okay. Balogun, he let go. Here, look at this. Rangers are letting £30 million at one point, not now, at one point, £30 million worth of talent leaving 8 weeks' time or leaving the club for nothing. Ryan Kent and Morelos, I believe, will both go. And at one point, you look at the money we could have brought in. So that alone, as far as I'm concerned, for the director of football, is gross misconduct. Letting a guy leave, letting two players leave, run down the final months that were worth millions at one point. So I think he's been absolutely shocking. But again, the final point, the most important point here is the board must give Michael Beale money, big money, $15 million upwards, or there's no point, absolutely no point in challenging, because Celtic board have backed their manager, so Rangers must speculate to accumulate here, or they will not compete, because Celtic will sign more players, more good players. And I'm looking at this Rangers team now, and other than the two, Raskin and Cantwell, which hopefully will be part of the team, and Tavernier and Goldson, that's it. That is it, as far as I'm concerned.
It's always going to be a mixed bag, though, you know, because if we're mentioning, I won't split hairs over Bassey, but there was good money got for him then. Ross Wilson would have been part of that. When you look at the business done for Nathan Patterson, considering he hadn't really played, you'd say that was good business, Joe Rebo. So there are bound to be some level of positivity there. But at the same time, Mark and lots of other Rangers fans, I think, will look at some of that list of as being a bit below what they would expect.
Yeah, no, and you have to agree with them. I think it's slightly unfair on Ross Wilson with some of the stuff getting thrown at his doors, especially what Mark is saying. Listen, Ryan Kent potentially could leave for nothing, Morelos the same, but that's down to the manager as well. The manager will want to keep these players, you know, because what can't happen is the manager says, I want to keep these boys even if they're not going to sign new contracts, and all of a sudden Ross Wilson sells them, because then the fans are then saying, well, hang on a minute, he's gone above the manager to sell these players. So I get the frustration, but you can't say, you know, he's not brought in these players and then sold them on, but he's at fault for players' contracts running down. You know, like
he's
got
to play a key role in that, though, surely, no?
Well, because no, because if I'm the manager and I say to him, I want to keep these players.
Yeah, but every time a manager sits in front of the press and is asked about contracts, they generally say, oh, you know, that's for Ross to sort out. And they always say stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. We're guilty of doing that. And that it is for him to sort out. And at the end of the day, if the players want above and beyond what Rangers can pay, then you can't keep them. But I'm sure Ross Wilson would have had a conversation with the manager to say, well, let's sell them now then. And listen, what manager's going to want them out of their squad?
Former Rangers striker Chris Boyd thinks it would be a good idea to part ways at this time. Here he was speaking to Sky earlier.
When you, that is your role at the football club, you're always going to be judged on it. There has been a lot of criticism flying about. I've had my say on it numerous times as well. There is no doubt the recruitment at Rangers over the last few years hasn't been good enough. There's no getting away from it. I think the fans have had enough. You've seen them turn on Stuart Robertson and Ross Wilson. You don't like to see it, but at the end of the day, you know, they're the ones who are paying, you know, the money. The fans are turning up and they want better. You know, Ross Wilson, if the opportunity comes around to go to a massive football club in Nottingham Forest, you would feel as if it would be too good for him to turn down. You know, in the Premier League, okay, fighting for survival, but, you know, you've got a chance here of you know, even if you go back down, a chance to come up again and you know, consolidate yourself as a Premier League club, because that's where Nottingham Forest want to get back to, you know, playing every single year in that elite level. And Ross Wilson, you know, he would want to be part of that if that's the case. You know, but as you said, at Rangers, there has been a lot of good things happened. I mean, it's not all been negative, but you can get the feeling once the fans start to voice their opinion and at the level they have recently, it's only going to end one way. And if there is an opportunity for Ross Wilson to, you know, maybe get out of this moment in time, it could be best for all parties.
I was just reading the replies on our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. There seems to be an air of celebration, you Rangers fans. Is that a bit harsh? Or would you like to come on and explain your thinking? 01419511025. Let us know.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We have been reacting to the news that Ross Wilson looks set to be leaving Rangers for Nottingham Forest. David Gibson's tweeted me to say the medical and sports science side of things under his remit's been a shambles. It's been our biggest failure under him, considering we've barely had a fully fit squad all season. What you would say, Marvin, is that's much harder to know for sure from the outside what's going on and whether there's an element of bad luck involved. And is, you know, you have to almost respect that the stuff goes on behind closed doors, but at the same time, you certainly couldn't hold it up and say it's been brilliant, you know, from the outside. You would get why fans would at least think that way.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I would agree with it. And it's a difficult one. Like you said, you need a little bit of luck along the way, but you look at Rangers' injury list, and as that fan says there, you know, the amount of players they've had injured. It's just not been great at all. And unfortunately for Ross Wilson, that comes underneath his remit, you know. So whether that is totally down to him, I'm unsure. But, you know, you need to make changes there. The changes have to be made there, because you can't afford to have that amount of players injured when you're trying to, you know, win a league title and be successful domestically.
I mean, I must admit, I'm hundreds of tweets on this that I'm sort of scrolling through to try and find one that's at least not that unfair. Because I'm not that type of guy. I wouldn't want to be too over the top with this stuff, but let's just say
they're happy he's going.
Rangers fans seem pretty happy about it, which then, Simon, in a nutshell, I know Twitter can be a treacherous place to try and assess the overriding feeling. But if it's even close then to representative of the feelings of the Rangers fan base, maybe it is just best for all parties.
Yeah, probably is, you know. And listen, if he's going to Forest, it's a decent move, a decent job for him. And as Marv says, maybe this was something that was already planned. Maybe this job's came up and it's just sped the process up.
You can't, you know, turning up at Fir Park, seeing banners with your face on it, yeah, and a big line through it. So he will know fine well that a number, again, don't know what number, but a number of the Rangers fans had wanted some change.
Yeah, it becomes untenable, doesn't it, when, you know, you see stuff like that. And I do think, you know, come end of the season, he would have gone anyway. You know, because listen, if he really believes in himself, and he'll probably look back on kind of his time at Rangers and know that he has failed to a degree, and maybe they do need a fresh start. As I said, will he be replaced? Will Michael Beale do a lot of the stuff himself? Will they, you know, chop and change the kind of the job description up? But listen, Rangers fans are happy it's happening. I imagine I get some sort of compensation for him. And, you know, as I said, I think Michael Beale will be well underway, you know, with his summer signings already.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. We do compare always in this city, Simon, and football 2023, modern clubs, they tend to at least move towards that sporting director, director of football, the yeah. structure, this continuity. And then all of a sudden, Celtic, miles away from that, they've got this sort of omnipresent manager, yeah. and it's working so well. So you wonder if it has changed the thought process in this city.
Well, ultimately, we look at the league table, and I think that's down. That's the kind of main reaction of the Rangers fans. They look across the city, they look at how successful Ange has been since he came in with the recruitment, and they're probably asking questions about their own club. You know, they haven't got it quite right. So, but as I said to Marvin the break there, it comes back to the table. Celtic are sitting above them. And have had a lot of success.
They've wasted some money as well, they haven't, the Rangers. When Gordon goes through that list there and you think about yeah. the wages that are being spent and the transfer fees, there has been a lot of wasted money. And if I'm Michael Beale and I'm sitting there and thinking, well, if you back me the same way other people...
They've been through three managers in that time
yeah.
as well. So then it's different philosophies, thought processes with recruitment. Where it,
but that's a sporting director's job, isn't it? To make sure everyone's yeah, philosophy...
There's a consistency there with yeah. Celtic where... He's going into a certain market, which he's an expert in, mm-hmm. and bringing real success from that. Obviously, the Japanese lads. But yeah, as the first caller, I think it was Mark said, Beale's had one transfer window.
Yeah, let's bring in Kevin, who's a Celtic fan. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good, how are you?
Yep, not bad at all. What are you thinking tonight?
Just after the weekend, brilliant result for Celtic again. Yet again, we get the job done. I think it was... wasn't as easy as I predicted the last time. I think both sides had success throughout the game. It was a cracking game, to be honest. Some brilliant goals, especially for Tavernier. Credit where it's due. It was a peachy goal. But I think the mumping and moaning for the Rangers fans after the game, kind of, see if that was my team. I wouldn't like to hear that from my players. I don't want to hear excuses. I want to hear what we're going to do. I mean, so... And I didn't get that for them. And it's just, well, I don't know what you guys think. Should they not be concentrating on their own team?
Day four of the Alfredo Morelos goal should have stood. It's taken us a while. What are we at? 6:30. I don't think we need to keep going over in the same sort of detail as we have. Kevin's more talking about the reaction from the Rangers camp.
Yeah. Listen, you know, they've came out and kind of the club have said what they've said about it. You know, I've not seen anything about the players. You know, I'm not on social media, so I've not seen a lot of what they've been saying. But, you know, as Kevin says, it's one of those things, and I'm sure in the dressing room now the players are saying, well, listen, we did these things well, we can improve on these things, and next time we play them, you know, we need to beat them. I think that's the kind of bottom line that it has to be. I agree with Kevin, excuses are pointless, especially from your players, and I think they'll have a massive belief. And, you know, they had some positives from that game, definitely, but they need to grow on that performance, and that's when they play Celtic. You know, they'll be hoping to win the game in a semi-final.
Yeah, listen, mumping and moaning, it goes with the territory. I said on the TV on Saturday night, if that incident happens at the other end, that Celtic, a Celtic striker, Celtic wouldn't be happy. Celtic fans wouldn't be happy with that. But these things happen in football, and it's how you react to it and how you react to different things within the game. You look at further into the game, two mistakes for Rangers capitalised on straight away with Jota and Kyogo to get the goals. Celtic just... as Kevin said, they know how to get the job done just now. I don't think they've been at their best since the international break. I watched them up at Dingwall last week, but they've come away with 6 points and effectively killed the league off. So I think I'm agreeing with Marv there in a sense that, and I said at the start of the show, I think Rangers were more concerned with Celtic rather than concentrating on their own performance, try to stop Celtic. And at the moment, Celtic have a hold over them.
Is that a process? I mean, I assume at some point Michael Beale would love to go into that fixture and dominate the ball and really impose.
They have to go and win a game. I went through a period at Celtic where we had a lot of the ball. Spoke to you before we come on the show. We had a lot of the ball, and Rangers had a very good team. They would break away and score. And see, for that little spell, it does affect you because you think, here we go again. And I think Celtic have had that in recent times, and this team have it just now over Rangers.
I think it's very difficult, you know. I think Michael Beale will be looking at it and saying, as bad as it sounds, these aren't his players. You know, it's very difficult for him to come in when he did. He's added a few to it, but he'll be looking at next season. You know, I kind of think that these games are almost you know, not a nuisance for him, but he can't really implement his style. He doesn't have the players that he wants. You know, there's certain players within the squad now that he knows will not be there next season for various different reasons, whether they're not good enough, they don't fit into what he's doing. I think, you know, this time next year, we can really be judging Michael Beale. Can he go into these games with confidence? If he can't do that in a year's time from now, I think questions need to be asked. But at this moment in time, these are not his players, so he can't really play the style that he wants to.
At the same time, you know, in a year's time, if things have gone wrong, you just don't get that time here, do you? You might not be talking about Michael Beale if it took that long.
But he needs that time. You know, he's been selected to go in there as a manager for a reason, you know, and we keep speaking about, obviously, when you look across the city at each club. What Ange has done at Celtic isn't normal, by the way. So, you know, from the team that he inherited to where they are now is unbelievable. So sometimes you need to just applaud things as fans, no matter who you support, and say, listen, well done. And you can't always expect your manager to come and do exactly the same thing, because what he's done there is spectacular. And that's why he's been now linked with other jobs.
I mean, Kevin, inevitably on the back of that, a lot of it becomes about, you know, what's next, whether that's short term or longer term. We've been talking tonight about Ross Wilson leaving and Rangers fans hoping that this means more effective recruitment going forward. So what does the picture look like in the future?
The picture looks like, if Ange Postecoglou is still at Celtic, which I think he pretty much has said that he will be, I don't know if you gave a few months ago, he said, you'll be surprised how long I'm here. The picture is that I would say Ange Postecoglou's success rate is about 90%, 95%. If Rangers can sign who they want, we're just going to get better. The board is getting that much trust and Ange, and so do the fans, that whoever he brings in, we're expecting, well, we've just got to get stronger. You might get stronger, but we're not just got to, that's what I say to the producer. Do the Rangers fans think that we've just got to stand still and all of a sudden they're going to overtake us? We've got to strengthen as well. The last Rangers fan that was one spoke a lot of sense, he said as much as well, but the future for me, I don't know, it's getting quite close. One thing I would just like to pick him up on a wee bit is that, so I'm pretty sure you guys heard, don't ever, ever compare Michael Beale to Walter Smith or Jock Stein. He may have broke a record, but I think we're all in agreement. This is one of the worst premierships outside the old firm that has been in a long time. The gap between Rangers and third place is I think somebody had said, it's the biggest it's ever been. So let's not get too carried away with Michael Beale's win rate, because they should be, and along with Celtic, we should be beating everybody else. So don't compare your Michael Beale to to Walter Smith and Jock Stein, because he's miles away from them.
Yeah, I don't think that many people are going to argue that point. I don't even think the caller necessarily would argue the point. Simon Kevin's, you can understand where he's coming from, saying, yeah, fine, well, yeah, Rangers may well sign new players, but Celtic will keep getting stronger as well. That would obviously be the hope.
Yeah, and to qualify my thoughts on that, it'd be because of watching what he's did in the transfer window up till now. There's always seems to be foresight, there always seems to be planning ahead, it always seems to be a transfer window ahead. We touched on that one with Maeda and O'Reilly and Hatate coming in last year. He identified them and knew they were coming in. I think he obviously behind the scenes knew Giakoumakis and Juranovic were on their way. He immediately went and got them replaced. We haven't seen a lot of little bits alike, but we have to see more of them. The guy at right back, he's been unbelievable. I know that people will look at maybe the goals at the weekend, or the goal that wasn't given for Morelos with that, but out with that, I think the guy has been exceptional. And I think this always, since Ange's been in, it's always seemed to be he's a step ahead. So I don't think they won't be resting on the laurels.
Yeah, I'm sure he won't, Marvin. At the same time, I think obviously that there's always more of an intrigue on recruitment for the team that is trying to play catch up, because if on one hand we're going to praise Celtic's recruitment so much, you have to then acknowledge that it must be harder to keep getting stronger. You know, do you know what I mean? In the sense of, what obvious areas could Celtic upgrade? Now, to be fair, Simon, right, you maybe would have thought that about Juranovic. Yeah. And then maybe some Celtic fans do think that they've upgraded. And I'm sure it's possible. But the margins become smaller, because if you're talking, you look across that 11, you look at the bench. If I was to say to you, go on, tell me right now, glaringly, would the Celtic need to upgrade?
Yeah,
quite a tough question.
Yeah, it would be a tough question. And I think also, you know, when you're the team who's leading, and yes, Celtic will keep evolving, I think they've got their style and their philosophy, you know, down to a T. Everyone can describe the way that Celtic plays with the inverted fullbacks, etc., etc. I think when you're chasing after them, and at this moment in time, we don't really know what Michael Beale's philosophy is and the way that he wants to play, because he doesn't have his players. I think when you are trying to close the gap, it's a lot easier than Celtic getting better. I think Ange has a harder job at this moment in time to keep going, you know, up the levels than it is for Michael Beale to kind of close that gap. Because as you've seen in the game since he's been in, you know, the one on Saturday was the closest one that there's been. That's the best performance for me that Rangers have had against Celtic. So I know Simon was talking about, you know, Rangers went out there to try and nullify Celtic, but to cut the mistakes out, I know it's easy to say, you know, it is a close game. So obviously they are getting closer. Listen, Ange is a top manager and he will keep evolving, but I think he has the harder job out of the two, if I'm honest.
Yeah, are there not still stories within those so-called fine margins though? Because I actually watched some of it back today, maybe hadn't had the chance to do so since the weekend. And you talk about the, you know, the Davis mistake, for instance, as if it's, you know, it's just a mistake, it's just a freak mistake. But a couple of things need to happen. First of all, you need players clinical enough right at that moment to punish the mistake. But even before that, you know, Celtic have made the change. Iwata's come on. He's then gone deeper with Callum McGregor. So Ange Postecoglou has identified that, which frees up the space for the pass to go through to Matt O'Reilly and, you know, and lead to that mistake. Because it'll never be... Michael Beale, I assume, is not just sitting this week going, ah, well, it was just a mistake, so, you know, we'll move on and that won't happen next time.
Yeah, but I think he will be trying to look at the positive. And listen, Ange, as you said, you know, making a tactical change, the man is a genius. There's no other way of putting it. He's absolutely fantastic. But I do think that Michael Beale will be sitting there and saying, if we can cut out those mistakes, they're uncharacteristic mistakes for a Rangers player to make. And they're ones that next season he won't accept when he has his own players within there. So I think he'll be looking at it and saying, I can close a gap. There's no way that Michael Beale's sitting there thinking, wow, you know, how do we close this gap on Celtic when we play against them? I think he'll be looking and saying, well, listen a minute, if we can get, you know, these three or four players into that starting 11, you know, that might be more athletic or whatever else it might be, we can definitely close the gap on Celtic.
Thank you to Kevin on the line, 01419511025. I love this tweet from Jim Stewart, just to really stir things even further. So as far as I'm aware, Ross Wilson has not yet gone to Nottingham Forest, but he says, Ross Wilson at Forest, will he look at some of the Celtic players or their manager? Can you imagine?
Wow, imagine he does that, then Rangers fans will be loving him.
Exactly, this could all come back round. Ross Wilson,
all planned,
could be the best Rangers sporting director ever, but only after he leaves
another club.
He goes and tempts
a cunning plan.
Anyway, right, 01419511025. It's the perfect time to call. If you give us a shout now, there's a good chance we'll try and get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 01419511025. If I'm ever in doubt as to what day of the week it is, I just peer over the screen, see that terrible Queen of the South tracksuit that he obviously lives in.
I saw you yesterday,
and
know
that it's Wednesday night.
In
what
the gym?
And what did you have on?
Yeah, this. I was keeping an eye on the boys though, putting them through their paces. Si, and then Gordon, yeah, you can join in with us actually.
I would much rather not. I heard some of your cruel tactics. I think I can tell the story, because I won't name the person. I wouldn't know the name anyway.
What were you doing in the gym?
So I was back in the Lanarkshire area, having moved. So I was back for some local business, which was great. I thought, well, I'll pop into that gym because that's where I am. And sure enough, he's in there. As soon as I pulled into the car park, I saw the Queen of the South branded car, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to turn around. Anyway, I go up and he's got the full team in, and he's just swanning around on his phone.
Is he not getting involved?
He says he does his own stuff afterwards.
Right.
It's swanning around, and he had one of the poor boys putting him through his paces on, what do you call that thing?
The skier.
But brutal piece of equipment.
Yeah, I think I know.
And I just heard him, and I had my old AirPods in as well. I was trying not to listen to him, and I could hear him saying, see, was the chocolate worth it? Were the burgers worth it?
See, there's 20 chocolate burgers, and you're paying to me, son.
He's a cruel taskmaster, I must admit. Anyway, as long as we can get through the rest of the show without you telling everyone how I almost locked my clothes in the dressing room and almost had to come to work in my shorts and t-shirt. That's for another day. Johnny's in Shawlands to save us from going down that road. Johnny, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are we, guys?
Yeah, yep. All good. What's on your mind for us tonight?
Well, I hear you talk about, obviously, recruitment from Rangers' side, and it's a point, I think, from Celtic's kind of been missed in the drama of after the Old Firm game, that we were missing two of our best players effectively in these fixtures, and my player of the year so far, Hatate, and Lila Badda, who seems to score every time we play Rangers at Celtic Park. And like I said, they were two sort of players that we missed. And I mean, I thought we were quite comfortable throughout the whole fixture. I think Simon alluded to that early on as well. where I think the way we play just now, Rangers don't really have an answer. And like I said, that was us missing two massive players for us in these games. I mean, I know Abada doesn't usually start just now, but if he could have came on with 30 minutes to go, I do think that we could have possibly have, we could have possibly have won by even more. So I'm just wondering what the guy's point is. Thought with that
Simon.
Point.
Yeah, it's a fair point Johnny makes. That was my kind of little bit of concern, having covered most of Celtic's games. Hatate has been excellent this season and really made Callum McGregor make Celtic tick, but this guy has been making them tick as well. Recently he picked up an injury, I think it was against Hibs, and yeah, I don't think they've been as fluent without him. I think his form's been really good. So it's a valid point. Going into that game, you know, I'd have loved Hatate to be 100% fit. And Abada as well, you know, his goal return for Celtic has been phenomenal since he came to the yeah. club, for somebody who doesn't play every game, and he's very effective mm-hmm. against Rangers. So yeah, because
it feels strange to say, yeah, we were missing someone who wouldn't have started the game, mm-hmm. but then because it's him, and because, you yeah. know, it's
well,
still valid, isn't it?
Three or four goals against Rangers, I think. But Hatate mm-hmm. for me has been, as Johnny said there, he could quite easily be mm-hmm. player of the year.
Yeah. Like, that's why the next few weeks is going to be fascinating, Marvin. We'll need to park it at some point in between. But, you know, for all the talk from, and understandably, Rangers fans will say, you know, well, we saw signs of improvement, we saw positives, and we'll be better. We might not necessarily make those same mistakes. And then Celtic fans will say, yep, and we'll have Rio Hatate back. Granted, Conor Goldson as well for Rangers, but something about the way he makes Celtic operate, isn't there?
Yeah, Hatate is fantastic, and he really is brilliant to watch, you know, for any young centre midfielder out there. I agree with Simon. For me, as good as Kyogo's been, I think, you know, he is player of the season. Been absolutely fantastic. I mean, you're in the centre midfield and you're out shining McGregor. That really shows, you know, the levels that you are playing to. But, you know, if he is back for the semi-final, he'll make them better. There's no doubt about it. You know, he's a shoo-in to start for Celtic, and, you know, Rangers will be looking at it and hoping that, you know, he won't be there for the semi-final.
And I suppose it maybe didn't help that whilst he was absent, Aaron Moy just had one of those days.
He did that.
Simon Donnelly, which you two, I don't know anything about it, because I didn't even get to the stage to have one of those days. It would be
I've
nice
had
to.
A lot of them.
But yeah, does that just happen sometimes?
Yeah, or? Just listen, I think Celtic as a team were a wee bit sloppy in their passing in that first half in particular. Mm. They weren't at their best, and you just look at Aaron Moy and how well he's done, and the impact from after the World Cup, he's been sensational for Celtic. Mm-hmm. I just feel
maybe a couple of games out is
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, just being injured and coming back, and it just didn't happen for him on the day.
It was even one of those where even the passes that did get to their intended recipient were still behind that recipient to begin with. Do you just sometimes know that the way you start a game, it's hard to get out of that?
Yeah, exactly. And as Simon says, you know, the levels that he set for himself, because he's been fantastic recently, you know, he was off the boil, and he probably wasn't the only one for Celtic. You know, and I think Ange said after the game, you know, we can play better than that, but we find a way of winning. And good teams and great teams, you know, whether it's in Scotland or England, great teams always find a way to win, and they have done that. But listen, you know, Aaron Moy will be firing on all cylinders again very soon, I'm sure about that. There's no doubt, because he is a top player.
Okay, thank you very much to Johnny, who was on the line there on 01419511025. Big praise for Rio Hatate. Thinks he can make a big difference when he comes back in, which I'm not entirely sure when that will be. I think we'll be due to speak to Ange Postecoglou.
Is it a hamstring injury? I'm sure
it was. I think it was. So I think,
I think it's the end of April, isn't it? I'm pretty sure I read something about that.
End of April.
It'd be the end of April, so that he's back.
I think
tight
the last touch and go. And people can correct me if I'm wrong. After the game at the weekend, I think Ange Postecoglou said, safe to say, he won't be ready for this game,
mm-hmm.
this week against Kilmarnock. But that was about it. I think that was as far as it went. And where are we? 2 weeks. 2 weeks and Sunday away from that game's.
Tough with hamstring injuries as well, because that, you know, you need to have almost that training miles in you again. You know, it's not one of them that, listen, if it's your calf or etc. You
it's
can say.
Funny
you know,
one, because I remember watching it, and it, now sometimes you're sprinting.
Yeah,
it wasn't like that.
An element of fatigue.
So, maybe.
Because like you said, normally it's not on your top end, isn't it?
Celtic players were getting hamstring injuries all over the place, and it seemed to go away this season. So,
mm-hmm.
Same number as always. Twitter @ClydeSSB. There is a lot of Twitter reaction to that news tonight. The Telegraph, amongst others, reporting that Nottingham Forest have agreed terms with Rangers to appoint Ross Wilson.
See if he is in charge of bringing players in, and again, when the January window would have closed, you'd have been planning for this summer one, and all of a sudden he goes before that. That's not great either, is it? Yeah. I know he's been hit and miss with what he's done.
But maybe again, that's because maybe from the outside, do we simplify the role? Because in there, Rangers haven't lost their head of recruitment. Mm-hmm. They've lost their sporting director, yeah, who sits above that. You know, it's like, I guess, yeah, it's like any business that's got layers of
management. So we just blame him for the recruitment, even though he's not the head of it.
That's the world we live in, isn't it? That is the thing. So yeah, it will be, I've not got the inner workings of that role, mm-hmm, but I'd imagine in general, for instance, actually, Andrew McKinley, the Hearts chief executive, spoke yesterday about recruitment, because he was asked about Hearts recruitment and if he was satisfied with it. And, you know, he said people do confuse it. Ultimately, a manager will say, OK, I want a left back. And then the sporting director appointed head of recruitment and his recruitment staff will then go over and bring a list of left backs, mm-hmm, that fit that profile. And then the manager picks the one he wants the most. So that's the way it should sort of operate. And that was from a Hearts perspective. But yeah, you're right. We tend to go above that. We don't mention the head of recruitment.
If you're head of recruitment, you're buzzing and you're listening to the show thinking, oh, boys. Keep me out of this conversation.
Or whatever Rangers have. I don't even know if it's exactly that title. I think it is. But anyway, we move on for now. Interestingly, so to show you how it does differ, this Telegraph story says that the new role is expected to be wider at Forest than the one he fulfilled at Ibrox. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's in charge of the pie stalls as well, or but he's doing even more than whatever it was he was doing at Ibrox. So there we go. Paul is a Rangers fan on the line. What's your point tonight, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Simon. And hi, Martin. Oh, sorry, Martin. I'm kidding on, Martin. I'm kidding on. No, I'll tell you what it is. Thanks for letting me on the show tonight. I know you'll be busy. Just to get Martin and Simon's view on this as well. No, as a Rangers fan, I'm feeling it now, obviously. Go through a sticky spell against our rivals and whatnot, but you know, I seen positives in Saturday's game in the sense that I thought we were much more aggressive, and you know, we played good football. Given the fact also that, and I don't think we tested hard enough. If I'm being honest with you, I thought outside the box. I think we try and play it too much in times. No, you've got to think of, you know, the definition of madness is that you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. And my point is, the formation we play continues to be the 4-2-3-1 or 4-2-3-1. We play Ryan Kent, who again was missing in my viewpoint on Saturday. He might have a different viewpoint, but I just thought he was non-existent, and a few of mates I was watching the game with thought the same. And we just keep doing the same thing again and again against Celtic. So as much as we improve to intensity and a wee bit more better with aggression, I just feel we need to mix something up with the formation and the players. You know, for instance, I don't know whether we play a 4-4-2 or we play a false nine. You know, I know Walter Smith did that previously when, you know, Chris Boyd used to bang goals in against a few teams but struggled against Celtic, and they dropped him a few times and we came out with... I think we missed Sakala, if I'm being honest with you. There was a time in the game, I can't remember the exact point, but there was a time where I felt if we had Sakala's pace there, we could have got an end of the ball. And maybe created something, but that's just a few points I've got about it. And I'm hoping going into the semi-final that we mix it up. I don't feel if we do the same team, the same tactics again, surely, the goodness, what I'm seeing as a punter, I don't know how the Rangers coaching staff can't see that. And you know, with Marvin and Simon being, you know, ex-pros and still involved in the game, am I missing something here, or are we not just playing the same style again and again and again? What do you think?
I do feel like there have been some, there are tweaks under Michael Beale though. You know, when you mentioned the formation and it's numbers, but a lot of it's been narrower, hasn't it? And attacking players closer together. And
Kent's taken up a slightly different role, and I've heard a lot of frustration, you know, around kind of Ryan Kent and in the games against Celtic, and people saying, you know, earlier this week on this show, you know, I wouldn't have started him, I wouldn't play him. I think, you know, anyone who went into Rangers as manager, you were going to play Ryan Kent at this moment in time, because that's the best that Michael Beale has. And I know there's been few and far between, maybe against Celtic, but on his day, Ryan Kent is a top, top player. So you are rolling the dice and you're hoping that he can hit those levels. Michael Beale will continue to tweak it this season. But what I have to understand is there's only two players, I think, that started that he brought into that football club. You know, come next season, come a year's time from now, it will be a lot more. All he can do is work with what he has. At the end of the day, a huge percentage of these players who are still playing, and Michael Beale is getting them fitter and, you know, making the tweaks, got a previous manager sacked. You know, so he can't make wholesale changes at this moment in time, and he will try and tweak things and he will try and change things. But I get what Paul's saying. You know, the fans are maybe seeing it and seeing the same formation and saying, well, why are we playing the same formation? Because this is what he's going to play going forward.
Forgive me, Paul, I didn't realise we were so late. Thanks for taking the time tonight. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to come on here, embarrass Simon Donnelly or Marvin Bartley. I mean, what an opportunity that is. 01419511025. You have to call before 7, so be quick. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here, and during the news, bizarrely joined by Hugh Keevans, who just seems to be in the building for some reason.
And young Archie.
He's brought Archie, his grandson, in. I think Hugh Keevans thinks this is like some sort of hotel. Where he can, it's a really bad hotel where he just sort of hangs out.
What a guy he is. Just, what a guy. Cardigan looks magnificent as well.
Same cardigan as when he's on air, you know, he doesn't dress down on his days off.
Brilliant.
Standards.
And Archie was telling him about his last time here at the Celtic game, 6-1.
Against your Dundee United team. Yeah,
so thanks, Archie, for that one.
Good few years ago, that, anyway. Right, 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you're just joining us, a bit of reaction early on in the show to the news that Ross Wilson appears to be closing in on a move away from Rangers to join Nottingham Forest. So what do you make of that, Rangers fans? Is that, I mean, everyone keeps tweeting me, telling me it's good news. You all seem to be happy. What does that mean? Give us your thoughts on the lines. And there are still lots of sort of talking points, reaction to Saturday's game as well. Hearts fans, I want to hear from you. Robert Snodgrass is done at the club. Is that the right call under Stephen Naismith's tenure? And Hampden is part of a joint bid for Euro 2028. Are you happy with that or not? Let us know and we'll speak to you as soon as we finish this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Ah, it was the one that got away last night on Beat the Pundit. Mark Wilson was hopeless. Oh, you listened, yeah, actually. You were texting
that
me.
Was horrific.
How bad was it?
Honestly, I need something like that today.
But then the tiebreaker was
do you hear it, Simon?
The listener it was, how many miles is it from Falkirk to Inverness stadiums, because they're playing in the semi-final. He said like 400 times.
Wasn't it 600? Eh? Wasn't it 600?
I think he said 450 or something, and it was only 100 and something.
Where's he going?
We were all over the place.
Scott
is on the line from Law tonight. How's it going, Scott?
Hi there, how you doing?
Not bad at all. Have you ever played before?
I haven't, no.
I'm going to stop asking that, because I mean, sometimes people phone in for, like, you know, a bit of revenge or whatever, but the number of debutants we have on this show is incredible. So what we'll do here, Scott, is toss the coin. If it's heads, you'll play Simon Donnelly, and if it's tails, you'll take on Marvin Bartley.
Who are you going to play, Scott?
I'm going to play Marvin.
Unfortunately, it's a heads, so it'll be Simon Donnelly.
What do you mean you'd rather play me?
Oh,
I'm on the weak link here.
Yeah, you start like flapping around, and if the questions are of a certain era, you get them wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, Scott, it is Simon Donnelly for you, so I'll give him some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear what's going on in here, and we'll get your clock ready. So, 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can and pass and move on if you don't know the answer, okay?
No ball.
Let's go then. 30 seconds starting now. Who's got more all-time goals for Celtic, Kyogo or Moussa Dembele?
Kyogo.
Kemar Roof joined Rangers from a team in which country?
Belgium.
Name any Scottish Premiership team who's won fewer than 5 games at home this season.
Kilmarnock.
Who did Scotland women's team beat last night?
Netherlands.
How many Scottish teams has Jason Cummings played for?
3.
Name the only stadium in Scotland listed in the Euro 2028 bid.
Hampden.
Which team did Real Madrid beat in the 2002 Champions League final in Glasgow?
I'll go with Chelsea.
Okay. Simon, can you hear us?
Hello, yes.
Same set of questions, ready?
Yep.
Who's got more all-time goals for Celtic, Kyogo or Moussa Dembele?
Dembele.
Kemar Roof joined Rangers from a team in which country?
Belgium.
Name any Scottish Premiership team who's won fewer than 5 games at home this season.
Motherwell.
Who did Scotland women's team beat last night?
Australia.
How many Scottish sides has Jason Cummings played for?
Three.
Name the only stadium in Scotland to be listed in the UK's Euro 2028 bid.
Hampden.
And which team did Real Madrid beat in the 2002 Champions League final in Glasgow?
Valencia.
Oh. Scott, what do you think?
I think he's beat, to be fair.
You sound you confident there, at least, which is a start, I think. Just a
here we go.
No, not at all. Just you know, it's important to at least pretend that you're confident. There's only three in it, but it's Moussa Dembele, 51 to 48, and Scott guessed wrong on the 50-50. So Simon goes 1-0 up. Kemar Roof joined from Anderlecht in Belgium. You both got it, 2-1. I must admit, Scott, this is where I feared for you, because name any Scottish Premiership team who's won fewer than five games at home this season, and you said Killie, but remember, they can only win at home, so theirs is better than that. I know, they've got seven. So your choices were Ross County, St Johnstone and Motherwell. So despite picking up, Motherwell still on fewer than
I didn't worry five, after I'd answered there, because they have won a couple, haven't they?
Just winning everywhere now though. That's the difference.
So what's the score?
It's 3-1 to you. Scotland women's team beat Australia at the weekend.
It's Costa Rica.
It was Costa Rica last night.
He's killing us all laughing.
He was buzzing with himself as well.
But Australia.
Your football camp, there was two of the young girls were at the game. I thought it was Australia.
That was at the weekend. And then Australia went and beat England last night. What does that mean? Automatically.
Scotland are better than England. That means you're having the World Cup.
No, Scott didn't get it, so still 3-1.
I was wondering why you were getting yourself laughing.
Jason Cummings has played for Hibs, Rangers and Dundee, which is three, but you both got it. Ooh. So Scott, it's not doing you any use. You need him to slip up, and it was an easy one. Hampden, the only Scottish stadium listed in the 2028 bid, which, by the way, we might get onto. What do you make of that news? Pick up the phone, see what we did there. And which team did Real Madrid beat in the 2002 Champions League final in Glasgow at Hampden? Scott, are you a young man?
I'm on the 27.
See, so that's why you don't remember it. You've got no excuse. Zidane, volley. They did play Valencia. They played Valencia in a Champions League game at that time, but not a Hampden.
Leverkusen.
Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah. I can forgive you, Scott, on account of age.
But
I just knew Chelsea were always about there near the end.
That was a bit before Chelsea money, wasn't it? Would you say before? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Scott's wrong anyway.
Yeah. 2002. Yeah. I remember it. First year at high school. I remember specifically.
What a volley.
Didn't go to the game right enough.
What a volley.
Oh,
I can remember the volley now. Listen to him. He's got it wrong.
Right, Scott, it was not enough. You did quite well, I think. Three on the board, but unfortunately for you, Simon got a five. Hard lines.
No problem, thank you.
Lucky Scott.
Lucky, by the way, by your usually drab standards, that was quite high scoring.
Got off to a good start. Yeah. Got off to a really good start.
He was on a stopwatch there. It took him about 25 seconds to answer the first question. How did he even get six of them in?
Well, see, Marvin, no one's on the stopwatch. It's the same. It's literally the same clock.
I'm not happy with this at all.
It gets clicked every night.
No.
But maybe a partnership here.
We are. Before and after, you paid me the pundit.
The joy you took in Australia.
So it was a confidence, man. It was brilliant. Oh, lucky Scott.
Great win that, by the way, for Scotland women's national team last night. One of those sore ones, because Costa Rica are going to the World Cup and Scotland aren't. But a 4-0 victory.
And Australia, they're going as well, aren't they?
Yeah, of course, for Pedro Martinez Losa's team last night. Very good victory. Emma Watson, 17 years of age.
She's meant to be brilliant, by the way.
Twice on their second cap. You think of that, 17, scoring twice.
Apparently she was exceptional yesterday.
Yeah, that's a brilliant
future.
What a night that must have been. I think she said it was the best week of her life. I saw some quotes earlier on, which I can totally understand. Yeah, in fact, I think we might be able to hear it a bit later on. Anyway, 01419511025. If you want to keep the themes going from the first hour, you can. But some other suggestions, gentle suggestions out there. What about that quiz question? Hampden, it's the only Scottish stadium as part of the UK's Euro 2028 bid that got submitted today. What do you make of that? Are you one of those that thinks, well, do you know what, ultimately that's just good news, potentially major championship football coming to Glasgow, what's not to like? But I've seen other people saying, only one Scottish stadium, most of them are in England, we're an afterthought and it shouldn't be Hampden, all this stuff. So if you want to get your thoughts in, please do. And what a week. What a week for Hearts. So we'll look at that situation in the not too distant future as well. But David is a Rangers fan from Southampton on the line. What's your point tonight, David?
Evening, gents. Hope you're all well.
Good, thank you.
Loving the show as normal. I wanted to talk about Connor Goldson. I know everyone's talking about how important it was that Hatate was missing for Celtic, but I actually think that Goldson's absence for Rangers at the weekend was even more important because I know he's had his critics in the past, but it's no coincidence that the results this season have been far, far better with him in the team than when he was not in the team. So, you know, the fact that he was missing was massive. He drives the team, I think, more than Tavernier a lot of the time. I know he's vice captain anyway, but you know, I think he's a real driver of that team, a real leader in that team. And the fact he was missing was evidenced by the fact the other two centre backs both made a huge mistake that cost us the game. So, I just wondered what the panel thought of that.
Yeah, I understand what David's saying, and not for one second am I saying Connor Goldson's better than Hatate or whatever else. So I think the drop-off from Goldson to the next centre-back and the calmness that kind of goes away from them defensively when he isn't playing, I agree. I think, you know, he was a bigger miss because, and that's, you know, down to Celtic having such a fantastic squad. O'Reilly comes in, I think he's got 11 assists this season. You know, what a great replacement that is. But yeah, Goldson was a huge, huge miss for them. I agree with David. You know, again, he's a calming influence. And yes, he has his critics. But when he's out of the team, you can definitely tell that he is missing. And it was unfortunate, like you said, the two centre-halves did make the mistakes that they did make.
I mean, having said that, I get it because those mistakes are crucial. But actually, on the balance of play, I mean, how late was that goal? Remind me, the Jota won 73 minutes. So right up until the 72nd, you would have maybe said, do you know what? I'm not really missing Connor Goldson because John Souter's not done a lot wrong. That doesn't necessarily take anything away from David's point. I just feel like it's worth acknowledging.
Yeah, look, listen, Goldson's been a big player for Rangers, and I think the consistent pairing of, it's been him and Davis most of the season. And listen, I worked with John Souter at Dundee United. I really felt for him at the weekend. It was just one of these things, a mistake, and Celtic capitalised on it.
Felt for him? You were jumping up and down for joy. Don't give us
Well, I was.
But then you felt for him afterwards.
Yeah, on a personal note. You don't want to see him making mistakes like that, you know, but it was unfortunate, and I'm probably with David, yeah, but I still think Hatate, creative-wise for Celtic...
It's a drop-off though, isn't it? Celtic, like you say, that and that's credit to them, because he's a wonderful player. We're talking about being player of the season, but still, when you look in that midfield and you see those three...
Yeah, it's a strong department. To bring someone else back in there, so yeah, as I say... I think the two centre-backs at Rangers, it's been more consistent with Davis and Goldson. Yeah. And again, it's not a slight on John Souter.
Yeah, because I was looking at, he obviously doesn't miss many games. So Connor Goldson, he did play in the 4-0 demolition earlier in the season. Yeah. But that, I think alongside James Sands, am I right in saying? But there's been a real deliberate attempt from Michael Beale to keep it consistent, because in the last three meetings, it's been the exact same back four. Yeah. Every time, it's clearly something he's tried to lean into, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know relationships grow, you know, especially defensively, when it's not off the cuff. You know you have attacking players and you can mix and match it up. But I think defensively, you always want to have that, you know, that back four together. And we're talking about the drop off from, and not saying John Suter is a bad player. That was his second start of the season. The last game he started was the first game of the season, and that's why I do believe it was a bigger miss for them. But like you said, he's always been part of Michael Beale's back four. Goldson when he's fit.
David, did the mistakes that the centre-backs made at the weekend, did that make you doubt them, worry about them generally, or can you write it off as being sort of isolated moments?
Yeah, I think it was isolated moments. I don't think we'd make two big mistakes like that in another game. Well, let's hope not anyway. I think it was just unfortunate. As Marvin was saying, you know, that's only Souter's second game. So it got to cut him some slack on that one. And Davis, unfortunately, it was a bad mistake. You know, I think he'd have to admit that himself. It was just a bit freaky that they both happened in the same game. And add to the fact that Clancy made that, in my view, shocking decision. I think it was like the cards were against us on the day. But I'm confident. You know, I think that actually we played really well, and we are playing well. And Beale's only had one transfer window and two players in. But I still think, even with the players we've got, We can beat Celtic in the semi-final. I'm confident that, and I don't think we just beat them by one goal. I fancy us for two or three. I just think it's coming. I really do.
Wow, where's that come from? I can understand the margins, and you think maybe slightly flip it. How do you go from the run of results against Celtic this season to beating them by two or three in the space of a couple of weeks?
Well, take this weekend. I mean, if we hadn't made those two mistakes, I know it's ifs and buts, but if we hadn't made those two mistakes and Clancy hadn't made that bad, terrible decision, it would have been 3-1 to Rangers. Now, I know it's all, you know, you're going to come back and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, you can never say that. It's true. But I just think that, you know, I didn't really see McGregor have much to do at the weekend. You know, I know he picked the ball out of the net 3 times, but he didn't have a say. It's not like he was peppered with shots left, right and centre and he was making lots of fantastic saves.
Did he still have a bit more to do than Joe Hart, though?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I'll give it this game. But I just think we've got it coming. I think they can't go on winning these games, you know, like this. I think we're gonna turn the corner and soon.
Beauty of this game is David may well be right, and then he can call up on that night and tell everyone he predicted it. But that's quite a turnaround, then, isn't
that's
it?
A huge
if it does happen.
Yeah. Listen, Rangers beating Celtic, would I be surprised? No, but if
by goals,
but one goal. They're not beating them by 2 or 3. I'm sorry, that can't, that, and let's be honest, the Celtic performance, what we're saying, that was maybe 6 out of 10 for them, and they go on win 3-2. I think the worry is if they give you an 8 or a 9 out of 10 performance.
It would probably be the number of, and again, like, this is just all forecasting because it could be completely wrong. Celtic may suddenly have a blunt day in front of goal, but on the body of evidence we've got so far, Simon, if you're going to beat this Celtic team by 2 or 3, you're going to need to score 4 or 5 because they, I mean, what are we looking at? Is it, are they up to 98 now?
Yeah.
In the league?
They're a goal scoring machine. I think David's a wee bit optimistic with his
odd goal. Odd goal could happen. Yeah. No one's beaten them.
Well, we've seen it last year in the semi final.
Yeah.
You know, Rangers won 2-1, but to say that they could turn that round and win by goals is a wee bit far fetched for me. Well,
David, you just note this date down and give us a call back and tell everyone that you predicted it. 01419511025. More than happy to keep going with those calls if you want. What about Hamden, though? Are you happy at that news that we could have Euro Championship football in Glasgow, hopefully with full crowds this time after a bit of a false start in the last one? Is that good news? Is it good news for football, good news for fans, good news for the economy? Or do you think something different, something with a bit more of a negative slant? Let us know. 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025. Or it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. If you want to get in touch, please do pick up the phone. I can see the phone line still ticking along. Still fairly busy for this stage on a midweek with no Scottish football. I've had some big games in the lower divisions over the last couple of nights. Get out to a game last night, did you, Marvin?
Yes, I tried to go to a game for the second time, actually. Dumbarton v Stirling Albion. The first time it was called off a little bit earlier, but 7:30 yesterday, the referee decided that...
Where were you?
There. I was there. I was raging. Grant Murray, my assistant, was with me, and he comes out and says, the game's off. I'm like, no, it's definitely not, Grant. He's like, come on, it's definitely not. He's like, I'm not kidding. And then I start to see the players from both teams coming into the car park in their full kit. So, yeah, I'm
that's
done.
That's the fourth time it's been postponed. So you should think yourself lucky that you've only tried to go to the previous two.
That might have been the third time I've been there. Because once I went, drove straight past the stadium because the lights were off. So what's going on there?
Well, so you actually physically went to the ground last time as well?
Yeah. That's when I drove straight past it. And you end up in a kind of like an industrial estate. And I'm like, my navigation said it's to the right. I'm like, what's happened? Didn't check Twitter or anything.
I said it last night, Simon. I had family members that went and drove all the way through and it was off, so I felt sorry for them. But then as soon as I learned that he made the mistake, I just felt much better about
killing
the
yourself laughing.
Oh, that sums him up as a person, doesn't it?
Brilliant. Anyway, quickly on the full time teaser, right? This question has 100% been on this show before, but I like to keep sort of on these nights. I think it's fine. I don't think you two have faced it before. So can you name, quite simply, the top 10 all-time Champions League goal scorers, because we have Champions League football tonight. So nice and relative. Can you name the all-time top 10 Champions League goal scorers?
Ronaldo.
Yep.
Raul.
Ooh, yes. And one more guess from you, Marvin, if you want to join in.
Messi.
Yeah, well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. I'm pretty confident you're going to squish that. So fulltime at Clyde1.com. That is the address you need if you want to send us questions in the future. We'd love to have them. Keep them coming. Could even use your question tomorrow. You never know. kind of big news potentially for the future today, because Hampden, as you heard on Beat the Pundit, has been named as one of the grounds as part of a joint Euro 2028 bid. So it's the only Scottish stadium that's on it. It's a joint UK and Irish bid, and Hampden is the only, or National Stadium of course, is the only Scottish stadium on that list. It's been confirmed today. This was the final day for submissions, and that bid has gone in. So I think Turkey, one of the other potential host nations, but all going to plan. Euro 2028, part of it certainly, will come to Glasgow. So I wonder what you make of that. Let's get a bit of reaction from Scottish FA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell. He was speaking to the Scottish FA earlier with these comments.
The stadiums that are included in the bid, the countries that are included in the bid, have got a track record of hosting world-class sporting events. We have easy transport links. Whilst it's five nations, we are close geographically, and it means it's accessible for supporters. There's over £2.6 million of socio-economic benefit would come to the UK and the Republic of Ireland, which would be fantastic. We missed out on that to an extent during Euro 2020 because of the COVID restrictions. We didn't see the full benefit of hosting full stadiums at Hampden as much as we would have liked, and it's important to put that right, and we can't underestimate the impact that would have on Scotland as a country. In terms of growing and developing the game, which is our primary objective, there is no better way to engage an audience than seeing Europe's best male players come to Hampden and participate in such an iconic tournament, and I'm sure that would have the impact that we want it to.
Give us your thoughts on that. 01419511025. There's even been a bit of debate, you know, down south as well, because the likes of Anfield's not on it, Old Trafford's not on it, you're a big Arsenal man, the Emirates is not on it. So but at stadiums in Cardiff, Dublin, Belfast, Newcastle, Manchester, the Etihad, it's Everton's new stadium, I think, not even finished, is going to be on Tottenham Stadium. So that in there, yeah.
Yeah, that's,
and Wembley,
yeah.
You would Wembley is on there as well, I think. So yeah, I wonder what you make of it. Let's pick up the phone to Brian. What do you think, Brian?
Hi, I know Hampden's a national stadium, but I've watched Scotland at both Hampden, Ibrox and Parkhead, and Hampden is by far the worst. But just to upset the Celtic Rangers fans, I'd go for Murrayfield, which is a great stadium. I've not seen football there, but I've seen obviously concerts and rugby, and I remember going to a game at Hampden one year, and it wasn't the alcohol that stopped me from doing this, but I remember a guy getting sent off from Norway against Scotland, and none of the guys was worth seeing it. The viewing is terrible. It's just a terrible stadium, terrible infrastructure.
Yeah, I think first, you know, that's, we've got a real problem if we're going to go and pick a rugby stadium over all of our football stadia, you know, not just Hampden, but the other ones that Brian mentions. Is an interesting one, because look, Brian speaks on behalf of loads of people. You ever sat behind those goals low down at Hampden? You know, it's difficult.
I think it was at that Norway game he's talking about as well.
And it's got a lot of criticisms, and some of them are valid. I think what you have to almost just take on the chin, Marvin, is that you know, this joint UK bid, they've submitted the stadium which they think is going to give them the best chance of hosting it. So that people obviously feel that it ticks the correct number of boxes, otherwise it wouldn't be on there.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. And we were speaking kind of off air, and I was saying, you know, kind of similar to what Brian was saying, but you mentioned kind of the media and is it an A1 category stadium, Celtic and Rangers, is it because Hampden's better in that sense? I agree, you know, I have to agree. From totally going and watching games at all of those stadiums, I do think Hampden's the worst of the three. I would have liked Scotland to have had two stadiums, if I'm honest, on the list. Someone said it was kind of an afterthought, you know, Scotland and the way they've been kind of treated. And I think we've got stadiums up here that are very, very good, and I would have preferred to see two rather than one. But for me, Hampden wouldn't have been my first pick.
Yeah, I can see sort of both sides, Marvin, because people, and Simon, people are talking about, is it 10 stadia in total? So I think six are in England and four are out with England. So people are saying, oh, it's basically an English bid and everyone else is tagged on. But then at the same time, six inside England, which is the biggest country, and four outside, is that big a difference? Could Scotland have been given one more? I see those frustrations as well, to be fair.
Yeah, possibly. I think, like Brian, I agree, Celtic Park, Ibrox are better stadiums for me than Hampden.
You're talking about as a spectator though, aren't you? Because again, there will be things, you know, when you're talking about criteria that needs to be met.
Yeah, well, Ian Maxwell talks about travel and different things there regarding Hampden, but the actual stadium and watching football, I think Celtic Park and Ibrox, obviously Celtic Park can hold a lot more as well. People out there will say I'm biased, but you know, you look at the Etihad's in and Everton's new stadium's in, so I think that kind of pettiness of if it would be Ibrox or Celtic Park is a bit
taken away. Like I said, though,
it's not even just better than Hampden.
I don't think it's just transport links. You know, like I said, you when you say better, you mean as a just to sit there and watch a football match. Yeah. But there'll be all sorts. You know, we're talking about press facilities, broadcast facilities, you know, facilities for the players and all that sort of stuff that would come into account. And Hampden, we can like it or lump it, is rated fairly highly in those respects, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the sensible way of looking at it, isn't it? You know, me and Simon, they're kind of like Twitter trolls and saying,
fans of course, but we're all going to speak as fans as well. That's important.
Yeah, I'm just talking solely from going and watching a game of football. And like you said, Gordon, there's a lot more behind it than simply that. But watching a game of football, for me, Hampden is the worst of the three. Still a great stadium, listen, but it's the worst of the three for me.
I mean, Brian, there's still apparently 2.6 billion into the economy. Is it good news ultimately, although you'd have picked a different stadium?
I mean, I think what they're doing, I mean, what they're doing, like, the move the game's about, I mean, I don't think they ever need the Hampden. I remember Hampden refurbished in the 80s, and it was, the refurbishment was absolutely shocking. And it's not even necessarily just Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and all them getting one stadium. They're never going to get two, but even it's maybe the spread of games, certainly Scotland as well, which I quite like. I like to see, obviously, the games maybe will be in England, but hopefully there's going to be a lot more games in Scotland as well. But Hampden is just a dinosaur, and it's obviously been bought for Queen's Park Football Club. And it's just a legacy that
we're
going to have to live with, I hate to say it.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Maxwell, we played part of his clip there, and you know, there has been talk before with all this stuff about, you know, being the owners of the stadium and Euro 2020, all that sort of thing, talking about, I don't know if you'd call it a refurb or whatever word you would use, but he did speak about potential upgrades. You know, I don't know what... get to that. Then what that'll look like. But he said we're always looking to improve the stadium. That happens alongside Euro 2028. We're a stadium owner now, so we need to make sure the supporter experience is as good as it can be. I mean, but let's be honest, for some people, the only way you're really going to satisfy that is do something with that gap behind both goals. I don't know if it goes.
You look at the main stand though, Gordon. You look at the main stand. As a stand, it's terrific. Why back then could we not have moved behind the goals to similar to that, and it would be a decent stadium.
The difficulty is, though, I suppose, from, you know, the Scottish FA's point of view, is if you're putting a joint bid together and you get one stadium that you can select, I don't know who selects the stadium, and they select Ibrox or Celtic Park, and everyone's like, hang on a minute, so what are we playing at Hampden? So it's a tough one, isn't it? It is a tough one for him. Maybe Ian has the same thoughts as us that he can't say, but looking at it sensibly, I suppose Hampden had to be the picker for only getting one stadium.
Jester is on the line. What are your thoughts on it?
They think they're part already for the games.
I thought we might get something about the pitch. I mean, it's 5 years away. I'd like to think we could sort it.
Well, when was the last time a game was played at Hampden before a Rangers and Celtic game?
Good question. Oh, in the final, yeah. No, you're right. It got a lot of criticism, didn't it, the pitch?
Aye, but so we're going to play games there, and we'll be talking the place, dump. Places a shambles. You're better playing at Lesser Hampden, Willie Hawkey's Park.
It's easy to go overboard with this stuff. For instance, we did host Euro 2020 matches, and no one criticised the pitch then. It's had its problems for sure, no doubt about it.
Just ask Spain.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
But you know, come on. For a start, I get where Jester's coming from. You made the point as well, but we are talking 5 years away.
Yeah, so. No, of course. And listen, like you say, being serious about it, you know, during the 2020 Euros, it was wonderful. You know, it was absolutely brilliant to have those games and some of the players that we managed to see playing on that pitch. So, listen, definitely, like you said, Gordon, it's 5 years' time. It will be in top nick, as Ian Maxwell said there. They'll be making upgrades as well to the stadium. You know, it brings a lot of money, say the economy, but to Scotland as well, and to the Scottish FA as well, to make improvements to our game. So listen, I'm sure the pitch will be absolutely fantastic, and hopefully, you know, win the bid.
Not excited at all, Jester. Don't fancy getting along to some Euro action.
I wouldn't go to the back door and watch Scotland, mate.
But it might not be Scotland. It might be.
I wouldn't go up to Hampden. Behind the goal, but 30 yards away from the goals.
Jester, if I get you tickets on the halfway line for Italy against France, you'll be there.
Then a guy 6'5" stands in front of you.
Ah, come on. I thought Hugh Keevans was a black cloud around this place. Does anything cheer you up, Jester?
So 30th of April cheered us up.
We'll put Gordon the pictures bad. Oh, come on. I get it. I get the sort of, you know, it'd be nice to have more than one stadium. And I actually, you know, just personal take as a fan, I like it when it's in one place. I like that notion. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to France, you go to Germany, you go wherever.
Yeah.
And hopefully we make some of these before then. The next Euros is in Germany.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to break my rule, because a wee trip to Mexico, the USA and Canada has got a nice ring to it for the for the next World Cup.
Yeah.
But we sort of got given with one hand and taken with the other on Euro 2020, didn't we? Because, as Ian Maxwell said, we didn't get to feel anywhere near the economic benefits. Most people couldn't get tickets for the games. The stadiums were empty. Yeah. So you can hate Hampden all you want, but I still have more of a buzz about it.
I think any sort of finals coming to our country in any shape or form is good. You know, the top players in Europe, hopefully we'll be there. You know, and we can mump and moan about the stadiums, but it will still be a good event.
Yeah, it'll still be brilliant. Listen, it's just a preference, isn't it? Rather than, you know, you've got three stadiums there and one of them has to be third, and unfortunately it is Hampden. It's not saying that it is a bad stadium, just would prefer one of the other two. But listen, like you say, it will be absolutely fantastic, especially if it's, you know, it's a full Hampden and Scotland are playing there.
Well, that's the thing, because there's no doubt some of the points being raised are valid. The pitch is at times not good, and sometimes, if depending where you're sitting, the view and whatever. But the stuff about the atmosphere doesn't stand up when you go on a big occasion.
Oh.
Go and phone any fan who is at the Spain game or the Denmark game or the Lee Griffiths game and ask them if the atmosphere's not good. It's unbelievable.
Who did Lee Griffiths score against?
You tried to forget about it.
Erased it from your memory.
Well, I had to bring that up, didn't he? Just go with the previous two.
No, because it was the single best moment of atmosphere I've ever experienced.
Oh, I bet.
No, genuinely.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I just found that fascinating. Because you're very fortunate. So if you do this job, you get to. It's not driven necessarily by. Yeah, really biased on that day, let's be honest. But, you know, I've been to Old Firm games and Champions League nights, and they're amazing. They're absolutely incredible. But that the single moment, I've never seen anything like it. Bodies everywhere. I was just thinking, where's Marvin? get him on the phone. The second one, obviously. That, I mean, the first was good as well, not to be picky. But anyway, thank you to Jester. Cheer up, Jester. Stick something in the telly and cheer you up. We'll get you along to Euro 2028, certainly. Right, how are you two faring on this teaser? Looking for,
what did we say,
the top 10 Champions League scorers of all time, just because we've got Champions League tonight. So Cristiano Ronaldo, Raul and Messi.
Van Nistelrooy.
You know, I've actually just lost my list. Hold on, I'm sure he will be there or thereabouts, but I've lost my list for some reason. Oh, it's a bad time for my computer to crash, I must say.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Sounds like when you call up to complain about your internet now. Oh, my computer's crashed, give me a second.
Oh no, we're fine. Who did you say again?
Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, he's on there.
Benzema.
This must be the easiest teaser we've ever had, because you two haven't even got any wrong. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight in tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And just before we go any further, let me remind you, I've been mentioning this week, so hopefully you've looked into it. But if you're looking for a bit of family friendly fun, why not check out the Point to Point Family Day at Overton Racecourse? It's Saturday the 29th of April. Lots of fun for all the family. It all kicks off the racing with pony races, followed by the high octane stuff with the point to point races. And you don't need to leave the kids at home. Under 16s go free. Loads to do. Fun fairs, bouncy castles, the lot. So you can grab your tickets from the Overton Racecourse Facebook page, or head to Clyde1.com to find out more. And you can even enter to win a family hospitality pass as well, not to be missed. I'm sure you will agree. I hope you two put the time that you had at the break to good use, because I'm asking you tonight on the full time teaser. Well, say I'm asking you. Stevie, who sent the question in, is asking you if you can name the top 10 all time Champions League goal scorers. You've got Benzema, Cristiano Ronaldo, Raul, Messi, Ruud van Nistelrooy,
Lewandowski.
Yes, Marvin.
Haaland.
No.
Is he not?
I think that's the first wrong answer
you're going to get through.
Given us. Yeah. So did I. Yeah. You had me worried.
Inzaghi.
No. Good, I'm feeling better about this now. Yeah, he's not far off though. He must be
Rooney must like be in there,
11th or 12th on the list.
Many have we got?
Six. You've got six, yeah.
Thomas Müller.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there and we'll get the other three before the end of the show. It felt like a good night to introduce that question because there is obviously Champions League action on the go. Not as lively as last night though. Did you see that? Sadio Mane is supposed to have punched
after the game.
Leroy Sané in the face.
Probably because he wasn't passing the ball.
I can't condone that type of behaviour. This was not meant to be a funny portion of the show. Marvin Bartley.
Pass the ball, man. Honestly.
Ever been punched off a teammate? You strike me as someone who would get punched. No?
Never.
What's the biggest tear up you've been involved in? Come on, tell us. Name names.
Do you know it's actually a Scottish player?
Of course it is.
Ross Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Headbutted Kieran Trippier.
When you were at Burnley.
Split his eye clean open,
wow,
man.
Wow.
He was playing down at
the old Legends game with you, yeah.
How did you get on in that game?
We get beat, you know, you beat.
No, I'm just asking a question. What's wrong with you today?
Two goals get cancelled out and we didn't get a penalty on VAR. We were cheated. We were cheated.
How long did you play?
25 minutes.
Wow.
The calf seized
blew
up. Have we not spoke about this?
No.
Yeah, 25 minutes.
Good not, going.
I mean, is that commonplace? Teammates punching each other in the face? Am I naive?
It was not commonplace, but it did happen.
Yeah.
In my time, yeah. I wasn't involved in anything. I wasn't much of a fighter, but I've certainly seen teammates going for each other.
Yeah, I've never been involved in one, actually. That was the only one I can remember seeing. I think Ross was just an angry man. Just angry at something.
Scottish, didn't do that, you know?
It was actually over nothing. Kieran Trippier went to take the quick free kick in the training game and Ross was in the way. And then...
I can't do that.
Punch him.
And I headbutted him.
That's mubbed.
Two great guys, though. Shook hands after. Ross got fined 2 weeks' wages and it paid for us to go away to Ireland. So he was on a fair whack.
A gentle misunderstanding, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Right, we will finish off that teaser very soon. I just got distracted by talk of punching each other. Where are we? What about this Robert Snodgrass situation? It's an interesting story, this, because Stephen Naismith has made his first big decision as Hearts manager by telling former teammate at Scotland level Robert Snodgrass his Tynecastle career is over. He's set to finalise it. It's going to be a quick departure, I think, in the next few days. He actually got sent off against St Mirren at the weekend, so what a way to finish. And for a lot of people, actually felt it was harsh.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have got sent off.
Yeah.
So Naismith in until the end of the season, as you know. A statement actually on the club. The one thing I know, like, winning games is like the most important thing, and that's pretty much it. But I've been really impressed with how clear Hearts communicate at times. Mm-hmm. I must say, I said this last night, and when the chief executive spoke yesterday. So a statement on the website. Stephen Naismith says he had a good conversation with Snoddy. I've got a good relationship with Snoddy as a player and a teammate. The decision's been made. He's not going to get many minutes. I've been there myself. We had a talk about it. His family are down south. It's the best outcome. Big thing for me, want to work with young players because he's been in the academy, and it's quite something, isn't it?
It is, it really is, and it was surprising, obviously, the Robbie news first and foremost, but then, you know, the Snodgrass stuff. But, you know, you just reading that statement there, and in football sometimes there's a lot of dishonesty within the game, and it had been very easy for Naismith to keep a player like Snodgrass around and then end of the season say, listen, let's go our separate ways. But he's been honest enough with him to say, listen, you're not going to get a lot of minutes, and you have to respect that. Don't always agree with managers' decisions, but you respect when they're honest with you. And if he wants to give younger players a chance, then fair play. I am totally surprised, though. I really, really am. And from a Hibs point of view, I know he was suspended for that game, but I mean, going forward, you know, I'm happy that he's not going to be at the club, because for me, in certain games this season, he's taken Hearts and he's taken it by the scruff of the neck, and he's been fantastic. So I think it'll be a big loss for them.
Yeah, it's certainly it's a big change, it's a statement, isn't it?
Big, you know, change in a week, you know, from Robbie losing his job and Lee McCulloch as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Snodgrass, you know, three guys that you would, well, the management staff, and you would imagine Snodgrass being like a senior member of that squad, big characters. So yeah, it's a big change for Hearts. And Naismith coming in now and... Sod's Law, they're playing against their rivals at the weekend through Easter Road. But again, wee quirks, I wouldn't be surprised if Hearts went and got a result there.
It's a difficult one, because it can very quickly lead to unfair suspicion, Marvin. Because, you know, the official line is Stephen Naismith saying he's not going to get a lot of game time.
Mm-hmm.
But with something like this, it's perfectly understandable that fans go, that it, not getting game time, so he's leaving. You know, has he been causing trouble behind the scenes? Is he too big a character? And that might be entirely unfair on Robert Snodgrass, because I don't know, I'm not there. But it's also not it's not entirely surprising that fans are going to speculate about that stuff on social media.
Yeah, I think they'll speculate because of the performances he has put in whilst in a Hearts shirt. You know, I think if he'd have been a player that hadn't played that much, and you know, you could potentially see him going down the road with seven games or whatever, however many games there are to go, and say, do you know what, he's been a bit part player anyway, but he has been kind of a mainstay in that team. But it is unfair on us, you know, as you said, Hearts have been very clear with their statements over the last few days, and it's been impressive. They have said it's for footballing reasons, and listen, sometimes as a manager, and I was a new manager going into it myself recently, you want to make your own stamp on things, and maybe that was what Naismith saw, you know, an area of the pitch where they need to get maybe more energy, or he wanted something slightly different, and, you know, he's gone and made a big decision. That's why he's been given the manager's job. He needs to put the best Hearts team out there that he possibly can to win games, first and foremost, to try and secure their top six place, and then, you know, to go for that third place.
You are our Hibs spokesman. Mm-hmm. They're not having a brilliant time of it either. Just when it looked like they might have, you know, turned a corner, some really disappointing results. So it's a fascinating Edinburgh derby in many ways this weekend.
Yeah, disappointing results and disappointing performances. You know, I watched Hibs on Sunday, and
a poor game, eh?
Yeah, it was a poor game. It was, but you know, you have to win poor games, and Dundee United would be absolutely delighted with it. But for me, Hibs, for the money that they've kind of spent on wages, etc., and the budget that they do have, you know, that for me wasn't acceptable. I think the fans have let their feelings be known. I think that's the fourth defeat in a row. I know that, you know, losing to Celtic and Rangers within that as well, but Motherwell and then, you know, Dundee United, who are bottom of the league, it's a massive, massive game for them. You know, Edinburgh derbies are always huge, but this is a massive one for them on Saturday.
I mean, I take it Hibs are going to grind through till the end of the season, and if it ends successfully, so be it. And even if it doesn't, you know, do they take stock then? Hearts have sacked the manager because they had third nailed on to everyone. It's been quite a dramatic decline, albeit in a short period of time, and Aberdeen have done brilliantly. Hibs are not at that, you know, at that stage, are they?
I hope not, because, you know, I want to see Lee Johnson be given time, but I do fear the worst if they don't make the top six. I don't think, you know, as I said, you can have that amount of players and that budget and not make the top six. I do fear for his job. I hope he's given time, because I believe he is a good manager, but they have to make the top six. They really, really do.
Right, I think that is almost us. Thank you for all your calls tonight. We'll just round off this teaser and then we will say goodnight and join you again tomorrow, where we definitely crank up the previews ahead of a busy weekend. So your question tonight on the full-time teaser, and thank you again to Stevie for sending this in. If you're listening out there and you think, I could do that, I could confuse Marvin Bartley or Simon Donnelly, it's not that hard. All you need to do is come up with a question at fulltime@clyde1.com, send it over, and we'll do our best to get it on the show. So tonight's couldn't be more straightforward. We're looking for the top 10 all-time Champions League goal scorers. You came out the blocks flying. You gave me Benzema, Ronaldo, Raul, Messi, Van Nistelrooy, Lewandowski, and Tam Muller, as he's known around here. So you've got three more to get.
The other Ronaldo?
No, he's not.
Henri?
Yes. Surprised an Arsenal man like you took so long, but never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Two to get.
Incidentally, I think they are 9th and 10th on the list.
You've, Owen?
You've managed to save it quite spectacularly. Nope.
Andy Cole?
Nope. I mean, one in particular has played for 7 clubs in the Champions League.
Oh, Nelka?
No.
Wow.
And in fact, he's played 7 for 1, 2, Ibrahimovic? 3. Yes. Because what's the stat? Is he's played for 6 clubs that have won it, but he's never won it. Is that not
is that
the stat?
Right?
I think so. Okay, and one more to get.
Drogba?
He's got the same amount as Ibrahimovic, 48 for Milan, Chelsea, and here's
Crespo.
Here's the one that's going to do it for you, Dinamo Kiev.
Shevchenko. So you should have got that. You two are the same age.
He's a good bit older than Shevchenko. You've done Shevchenko in there, I think. I must say.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, that's a compliment for Simon. See, I like him.
How old are you?
Pass. 48.
It's pretty close actually. He's 46, I think. So you're fine.
46.
Anyway, thank you, Marvin and Simon, and thank you for listening. A pleasure as always. Enjoyed that tonight, and we're back tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL from 6.